You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonçalves. Welcome to SBS On The Money from the SBS Newsroom for this Monday, the 16th of November 2020. It's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later, ANZ says we've seen the bottom of the property market and has upgraded its 2021 price forecasts. We'll tell you about that soon. But first, to the Australian share market, which rose 1.2% but was only trading for 20 minutes. The Australian Securities Exchange says a software issue prompted the shutdown of its systems, but that traders will be able to buy and sell as normal from tomorrow morning. The market did open as usual today. The S&P ASX 200 was actually headed for a fresh nine-month high until the pin was pulled around 20 minutes after trading began, following the discovery of inaccurate market data. Now, in a statement late this afternoon, the CEO of the ASX said that the ASX is disappointed with today's outage and sorry for the disruption caused to investors, customers and other market users, which fall short of its high standards. And market participants say it's more of an inconvenience than anything else. I spoke to one of them earlier. It's Julia Lee from Berman Invest. So it was put into inquire mode. What exactly does it mean, and what does this mean for trades that I guess were in the process of being made?
Inquire means that trade has halted. So we have seen trade being disrupted, and it feels like it's almost a four-year glitch. It seems to happen every 4 years on the Australian share market. The last time was in 2016, and before that there was one in 2012 as well. But given this age of technology, it isn't surprising, and it's not just the Aussie share market which is disrupted by glitches like this. Recently, we saw the Japanese market also closing early because of a technical glitch.
Do we know how serious it could potentially be?
Well, hopefully they'll figure it out overnight and we won't see disruption. And it does come at a time when we are seeing the Australian share market trading at eight-month highs. So no doubt a lot of traders would be hoping that glitches like this happen on a bad day rather than a good day when the share market has had a pretty good run-up. It's unfortunately for any sellers who wanted to get out of positions ahead of the US session tonight. But luckily for the ASX, Monday does seem to be the slowest day out of the 5 days.
Okay, in corporate news, Qantas celebrated its 100th birthday today. Not necessarily the best time to be having such a milestone birthday. What's the outlook for the aviation sector?
Well, unfortunately for COVID-19, the aviation outlook has been disrupted, and it looks like for domestic travel, once again, Adelaide is in the spotlight with both Queensland as well as WA closing borders to Adelaide. So unfortunately, we are seeing once again disruption. Hopefully that will come up and be back to normal ahead of the Christmas flying period, which is a big peak time for airlines. But of course, international travel isn't expected to come back to profitability until FY22. So look, things are pretty tough, but the share price does price in the future. So Qantas' share price is actually up 40% over the last 3 months.
And we saw a pretty negative report from the corporate regulator on the buy now, pay later space. What kind of implications have we seen?
Some of the statistics coming out of this latest report are quite shocking, that one in five buy now, pay later users are missing payments, and one in two between the ages of 18 and 35 have missed out on buying essentials in order to make payments. Still, the regulator looks like it's happy to wait and see in terms of its approach, but unfortunately we did see the buy now, pay later stocks underperforming the market before it went into a inquiry mode.
Julia Lee there from Berman Invest. Now, the halt on the ASX today saw trade delay for new share market participants, including fashion retailer Universal Store and gold producer Native Mineral Resources. They will list on the ASX tomorrow as a result. And just expanding on what Julia Lee mentioned there about the buy now, pay later space, the corporate regulator ASIC says some shoppers are skipping meals to pay for orders made through buy now, pay later operators. Its long-awaited report into the industry found one in five buy now, pay later users have missed a payment in the last 12 months, with customers cutting back on essentials such as meals or taking out other loans to make their payments on time. The sector allows customers to pay off purchases over several installments, but isn't regulated by credit protection laws like other lenders. And for more on that, Sarah Dowling spoke with the Consumer Action Law Centre's CEO, Gerard Brody.
So do you think the industry needs to be regulated like other lenders?
I think the industry does need to be regulated just in the same way as other credit providers, whether they're credit card companies, personal lenders, or other loans. There is no reason why buy now, pay later should be treated differently.
So why do you think that is? What is it that they're maybe doing that needs regulation?
From this report, it's concerning, particularly seeing young people who are being set up to fail. Around half of consumers aged between 18 or 29 said they had to cut back on their essentials in order to make repayments. And half also said they had to take out an additional loan to meet repayments. This says to me that the loans aren't being provided affordably and they're not necessarily suitable to the customer circumstances. If the responsible lending laws that apply to other lenders also apply to buy now, pay later, then this sort of harm would be limited.
So ASIC has sort of stopped short, I guess, of actually saying that regulation is needed, but it has pointed to a couple of things that are coming out next year. There's an industry code of conduct. There's some other changes around design and distribution obligations. Do you think that they don't go far enough?
I really query whether self-regulation will be effective. The Buy Now, Pay Later draft industry code of conduct covers only 8 businesses, while we're seeing new providers pop up every week. And during COVID, the industry publicly said that only 1% of their users were in financial hardship during COVID-19. But this report really confirms the real figure is much higher. So industry players are either underreporting or not actually able to identify hardship. I think that discrepancy calls into question whether industry self-regulation is going to be effective.
Gerard Brody there from the Consumer Action Law Centre speaking with Sarah Dowling, and also the Buy Now, Pay Later players have welcomed that report from ASIC. Afterpay, for example, saying consumers are benefiting from more choice, and Zip saying that only 1 in 100 Zip Pay customers are late each month. Let's wrap up now with a bit on the property sector. A report from ANZ today, a sharp turnaround in sentiment prompted by unprecedented government stimulus, bank mortgage support, and record low interest rates has ANZ economists predicting the worst of the housing downturn is over, with better than expected gains set for the next year. Now, economists at the bank say prices will rise 9% on average across Australia's capital cities in 2021. Perth, the best of the capitals, at around 12% for 2021. So for more on that, I spoke with ANZ economist Adelaide Timbrell. Adelaide, what's made ANZ revise their forecasts for house prices in 2021?
So we have seen sentiment around the housing market turn around very sharply. Government income support, as well as the RBA's very low interest rates, have definitely contributed to that. And although we haven't seen a huge amount of interest rate cuts compared to previous downturns, where there might be 400 basis points off the interest rate, whereas this year it was only about 65, what we have seen is a huge downfall in fixed rate mortgage rates. So they've really come down from about half between mid-2018 and now. So people are paying a lot less, borrowing capacity is up, and these things together, along with the massive amounts of government support we've seen through the downturn, have really helped to drive housing market prices, including in particular those owner-occupied demands.
What are the risks, though, to that forecast?
So if we do see, fixed rate mortgages, come up a little bit, particularly off the back of increasing bond yields now that there is some news of a vaccine and a little bit more positivity in the market. That's one risk. Macroprudential measures are another risk, although we have somewhat built that kind of assumption into our forecast. Both of those things could kind of dampen the market a little bit next year. And then any policy around, state borders reclosing or another outbreak, and the labour market implications of that is something that would also slow down property prices.
So you expected house prices to decline peak to trough by 10%. What's it likely to have done?
We really believe that we are around the trough now. And so Australian capital cities on average have gone down from peak to trough about 2.1%. Melbourne has really dragged this number. It's about 4.9%. Sydney is 2.4%. And then the rest of the capital cities, we've really seen hardly any price downgrades. And we're likely to see pretty smooth sailing for those cities in particular.
So given all that and this expected recovery and pickup in the housing market, are you worried about the amount of debt Australians are taking on during an economic slowdown?
So one thing that we've really seen with the COVID downturn that's been different to other downturns is that employment and income losses have not been as broad-based. So we're seeing a lot of younger people, lower income people and part-time workers in hospitality face the brunt of those economic losses. Because of the housing boom over the last decade, those people really are largely not homeowners. And so the average homeowner is at less risk than the average person in the economy of losing their jobs or facing some of those mortgage risks. On the other side, we have a lot of government income support at the moment, and we also do have a lot of bank support, so mortgage deferrals. Different banks are looking at forbearance measures, particularly for owner-occupiers. And because this is an owner-occupied-driven recovery, although we are going to see heightened debt, and there are always risks that come with heightened debt, we are seeing a lower risk profile really than we ever have before. It's not investor-driven. It's not about vacancy rates. These are people buying their homes, upgrading their homes, and with an interest rate forecast over the future, which is made quite certain by RBA's strong forward guidance saying that they will not be raising rates over the next 3 years.
Adelaide Timbrell there from ANZ Talking Property. That is SBS on the Money for this Monday, the 16th of November, 2020. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BusinessRicardo.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.